Staining Alive with Rita Steele, thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners.
Oh, hello Rita.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, good. Hey, we should give a shout out to Kraft Homes. If you are in the market for building a sustainable home, you can talk to them. They're the people to go to. You can check them out online, Kraft Homes.
And not only would you be doing good for the world, you'd also have lower running costs.
Yes.
Which is very important these days.
Yes, you know it.
Yes.
Now, Rita, this afternoon or this evening, we're talking about the Amazon wildfires. What's going on over in the Amazon?
Yeah, so look, I think you'd have to have been living in a cave if you haven't heard about these fires. They aren't really wildfires, though, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But I thought what I'd do, because there's quite a bit of misinformation sort of flying around about them, so I thought I'd kind of break it down a little bit and try and get the most up-to-date data for us to look at and what we can do about it, because we are quite far away and we have absolutely no political influence over what happens in Brazil. So it is a little bit difficult, but there is some ideas here. So just a little recap. What's happening is we're seeing thousands of fires across the Amazon, with the northern states being particularly badly engulfed in flames. And there's also fires across the border in Bolivia, in their tropical forest, and also savanna. So just to give a little bit of context, like rainforest is quite a wet place. So by nature, it hasn't really evolved to deal with widespread fires. That said, we do have a fire period of July to September where they do have some fires, and so there is a natural process that some trees have evolved to deal with. And if you look at like some countries, their trees are 100% evolved for fires. So Australia, for example, there's a lot of trees that shed seeds that won't actually propagate until there's been a fire. So they've evolved, that continent has evolved to deal very well with fires, but the rainforest unfortunately hasn't really. The savanna in Bolivia is a little bit more used to fires, so that will recover pretty quickly. But it is still pretty devastating. And what I've seen misinformation-wise floating around is a bunch of averages saying different things. So I thought I'd just break it down for people just to give you a bit of a context, because I think averages can be a really dangerous statistic. They can kind of be used how they want to be used, how people want them to be used. So what we're seeing is the very dramatic headline is that we're looking at about 80% more fires than there were this time last year, which is absolutely true. Almost twice as many fires as this time last year. But then I've also seen other things floating around. So I sort of I'll break them out. So the next statistic is that it's the highest number of fires that we've seen since 2010. So again, a really gnarly statistic. But then I did see an article that was like, everyone is panicking because this is just sort of the normal amount of fires. There's been worse times in history. And what that statistic is that actually this isn't the worst year we've seen for fires. We did see worse years in the 2000s. So when fires were about 66% more fires in the mid-2000s. But I think there's a couple of points on this that's quite important for us to understand. Like I said, it is common to have some fires around to October is the period that they do see them. But usually they're due to naturally occurring events like lightning strikes in particular, and if there's a really dry season. And what we're seeing is that over time we are seeing these dry seasons happen more frequently, there's more energy in the atmosphere, so we get more lightning strikes, that kind of thing. But the problem is that this year isn't one of those years. This year it's not a particularly dry season, they haven't had a lot of lightning strikes. The concern this time is that it's being driven politically. There is absolutely a political motive to clear land by the current president, Bolsonaro, and I'm sure I'm going to get people saying that I've said that wrong.
Is it just for dairying and basically cattle?
Yes, so about 70% of deforestation. So the other thing we need to clarify is that you've got to be careful that you're not talking intermittently. Deforestation and fires are two kind of separate things, although they are very much linked together. about 70% of deforestation is in the Amazon is for cattle ranching rather than dairy.
Okay, so cattle ranching. Yep. What about timber? Obviously not fire if it's timber, but is timber like a lucrative industry for the Amazon?
Yeah, and that's why I say, you know, we have to be careful about deforestation. One of the articles I read was kind of intermingling the statistics. And even though they are somewhat closely linked, they are actually two different things. So it is important that you don't look at statistics for deforestation and compare them against fires or vice versa. But yes, timber is another leading cause of deforestation in the Amazon and something that, I mean, the thing is, what we've seen is that over the last, sort of since 2005, we've seen a significant decrease in deforestation in the Amazon, and there's been a lot of work done around this. So what I think everyone's quite concerned about is that, and the thing that is probably panicking a lot of people, is that this is a very clear disruption of that trend where people there's a political motivation to turn that around and actually increase that again. And there's been so much work put into protecting the Amazon and the people and wildlife that live in it that it's just quite concerning for all those, because it appears that no amount of money can almost fix the problem.
What about, I mean, is it a sort of local policy in Brazil which has encouraged the deforestation?
Yeah, look, I think if you think about it from their point of view, you know, we as a developed nation and our, you know, other developed nations that we have come from or associated with, we've all got really wealthy off pillaging our natural resources. And it is, you know, if to look at the bigger picture, it is a really difficult thing to say to another country, no, you can't get wealthy off your natural resources. And I think, you know, I'm no political analyst or expert in Brazilian politics, but this has happened in multiple countries before, like Malaysia and the Philippines, where, you know, they kind of have a right to get wealthy off their resources, and it doesn't suit us because we need that oxygen and the carbon sequestering that those trees can give. And I think, you know, we all like to know that those, you know, the species that live in those areas exist as well, and that they're there. But it puts them in, you know, in a situation where a lot of them are poverty stricken. They don't have what we have in the Western world, and they don't have jobs. And jobs seems to be a big motivation here. So at the moment, well, up until recently, one of the reasons we're seeing this decrease in deforestation is because of a fund called the Amazon Fund, which I think Denmark or one of the Scandinavian countries is very involved with providing funding for. It's about $70 million a year, and that has been going into paying people not in the Amazon not to cut down forests and whatnot. And it's been working really well, but I guess these people still, you know, the metrics that we use in modern society is unemployment rates and GDP, and unfortunately, as it stands, the rainforest doesn't add to the GDP of a country.
Is there anything that we can do in the immediate term to try and improve the situation, whether it be politically or is it kind of an aid situation where we help out, I don't know, these, I guess, the less privileged and less fortunate people who are living in situations where they need to burn off, you know, rainforest to get productive land. Is there anything we can do to help them? Or
yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because, like I say, you know, being all the way in New Zealand, like they're really in the immediate future, there's not a lot that we can do. I mean, I guess the biggest things we can do is firstly understand that we got, you know, it's okay to be angry, but understand that, you know, we have deforested 70% of New Zealand and got wealthy off that. And so that's what the motivation is here for these people that, you know, are sick of not having jobs and are sick of, you know, being poor, and that there is a responsibility for us to perhaps offset you know, our way of life by you know, carbon tax or something along those lines. And there's so many issues with carbon tax as it stands. One of the biggest ones And again, I'm no expert in it because it's very complicated. But one of the biggest issues is that any forest before 1990 that's established before 1990 isn't considered at the moment for carbon credits. So you've got this massive area of Amazon which isn't eligible for carbon credits, which to me just seems absolutely crazy, because that's those established forests, and same in New Zealand even, you know, those forests, those big established forests are the ones that are actually the most valuable, so we should be paying for the carbon sequestering that they do. And perhaps, you know, internally that money has been distributed in Brazil for jobs. So for jobs in terms of, you know, protecting that land, firefighting, you know, it's things that are actually seen as productive, so they can add to the, you know, value of GDP. But it is one of the reasons why I go on and on and on about how GDP is a terrible measure, because you know, this country looks like it's doing really badly, but it actually has one of the most important and most valuable assets on its doorstep that we just don't even value, you know?
It seems like, obviously, the biodiversity in that part of the world is particularly rich and varied, and there's not a lot of value placed on that either, when a lot of that habitat, which is home to the biodiversity, is destroyed as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, most people will have what's called a willingness to pay for some of those species to exist just in their own right, you know. Like, you know, we all like to think that, you know, we probably all have a favourite animal that we might not ever see in real life, or in the wild in real life anyway, but to you it has an intrinsic value. You know, so it is a real shame that we don't put a value on you know, those species.
It's crazy.
Sorry that we don't have more more good news on what we can do. Hey, look, also the president over there has done a few things. I mean, he doesn't really sound like
he's useless, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's basically just looking after his country. So he's trying to get the most out of the land for what it's worth, and because that's sort of, in the long run, everyone's going to look at the wealth of the country when he's done. So he's just trying
to
get the money. So like you say, unless we actually like monetize, unless we put a value on what we think this nature's worth, and it needs to be more than what a blank canvas of earth is worth.
Exactly.
You know, like and the potential of logging and all that sort of thing, you know.
Exactly, and there's actually lots of methods out there for valuing this stuff. You know, this happens all the time in places. It just isn't happening in Brazil, unfortunately. And you know, and he's under so much pressure now. I mean, he's turned down, the G7 have offered a tiny amount of money to help out, but he's turned that down for political reasons, by the sounds of things. But he has announced a 60-day ban on setting fires, which I thought was very generous of him not.
Great.
I kind of thought they'll be burning for another 60 days. But he does have a major problem there, because he's got, you know, carbon monoxide, you know, infiltrating their cities, and some of the worst air pollution they've seen in a long time. So there's only so long that the people are going to really put up with that as well, I would imagine.
I heard the other day that that movie Rio with the little blue parrot?
Yes.
It's extinct now.
Yes, yeah. But if you follow the extinctions, it's really sad.
But but that one had a movie about it, and it's extinct.
I know.
You know, like, like shit.
I know. I mean, I'm actually a big fan of, you know, anyone that uses nature in any of their marketing, or nature terms or anything. I think that they should be paying, you know, what is essentially a copyright fee to a fund for animal. Yeah, I mean, a big fan of that. And I remember suggesting it a few years ago at university, and everyone looked at me like I was crazy. But I think the more and more we hurtle towards actually having these animals disappear, the more and more, you know, it makes sense. And people have been calling for Amazon, you know, the company to actually throw some money behind this.
Amazon could definitely save the Amazon. The irony there is pretty epic.
Exactly.
Give all that money.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, there's lots of things to be done. I think it's about political will, and hopefully the Brazilian people will also rally behind this. I'm sure they'll get sick of the smoke.
It's crazy because we can't rebuild it. It's not like a Notre Dame situation where we can just throw money at it, is there, really?
Exactly. And, I mean, look, the Amazon is, in the scheme of things, a medium rate growth. You know, so we're looking probably at 100 or so years to re to replant and regenerate,
right.
Versus some of our species. Like our forests take thousands of years. So, you know, but I mean, there's just no way. Once it's gone, it's really gone. Like, it's, you can't bring back those species. You can't bring back, because you think about all the microbes. It's not just the big animals. It's all the, you know, the worms and the little tiny insects that we haven't even discovered. So we won't even know that they were an important part of the ecosystem, and we'll never get those back.
Buzzy.
All right, Rita.
Okay, sorry, I probably left you all a little down, but you know, feel free to keep rallying about this one.
It's important to feel this way to gain perspective.
Yeah, and international pressure hopefully will get us there as well.
Right on.
Fantastic, guys. Have a good week.
Okay, thanks, Rita.
See ya, bye.
Also, cheers to Craft Homes. If you want to build a sustainable home for yourself,
bless that.
Check them out online, crafthomes.co.nz.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Craft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners. Go to crafthomes.co.nz.